Rabbi Say, we are holding on Sachin Daf Chesamid Aleph, various halachas regarding Bedikas Chametz. So we saw various brises discussing the makor of the Or HaNer, that the Mishnah tells us that Bedikas Chametz should take place the Or HaNer. The brisa disqualifies other types of light, Or HaChama, Or HaLavana, Or HaVuka. We discussed yesterday whether that is all b'diyeved, whether it's only Chatchila, exactly what the case is talking about, and what they were discussing. Okay, for today, we're continuing on another brisa, with more details about where you need to check chametz for this mitzvah, bedikas chametz. So we continue in the middle of Daf Ches. We're up to where it says, kol makom shemachnisin bo chametz. This is quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us toward the end, or when establishes, I guess, actually toward the beginning. The very beginning of the Mishnah says, kol makom she'ein machnisin bo chametz ein tzarech bedika, and then goes on to discuss a certain scenario of beis shuras b'marteif. So the Mishnah gives us the defining characteristic of where you need to check for chametz and where you don't have to check for chametz. And by saying, kol makom she'ein machnisin, the Gemara is going to be medayik something that's going to send us to a braisa. The Mishnah is, of course, always written b'kitzer, but the brises are always elaborating on more details. And the fact that the Mishnah uses a lashon of kol makom, which is a way of alluding to many different cases, the Gemara is now going to quote a total of 9 cases that would fit the profile of a makom she'ein machnisin bo chametz. Says the Gemara, on that which the Mishnah states, kol makom she'ein machnisin bo chametz, ein tzarech bedika, if it's a place that you don't generally place chametz there during the year, you don't have to do bedikas chametz to check there for chametz. Zok the Gemara, kol makom la'asuye mai. By the fact that the Mishnah uses the lashon kol makom, there must be something alluded to about cases that would not be quite as obvious. And the kol makom is coming to be marbed that those cases, in fact, come under the category of ein machnisin bo chametz. We'll have to know why one would have thought otherwise. But first, let's see exactly what this means in terms of the examples that are now quoted. Zok de Gemara, la'asuye hadetanu rabbanan. And here we have a long list in this braisa. The Rashi just comments on what the Gemara is saying, kol la'asuye mai, d'lo tana makom shemachnisin bo chametz. The word kol is seemingly an extra word. If it would have said makom shemachnisin, that would have said everything we need to know. By saying kol, we're coming to include new cases that you wouldn't have otherwise realized, in fact, do not require bedika, says the Braisa. First, chorei bayis, ha'elyonim b'hatachtonim. If you had walls, holes in the wall, chorei, Rashi says, shebakosel, that are elyonim, that are quite high, v'hatachtonim, that are quite low. Ha'gvoim yosem idai, so you're not naturally going to use that space, that opening in the wall, it's very high. V'hanimuchim yosem idai, Rashi tells us if it's very low, again, what would that mean? Very low, less than 3 tfachim, let's say. So v'einochen l'shtamish, it's not comfortable for a person to use that, it's hard to go very high, it's hard to bend down so low, ein tzarech livdok. So here we have examples, chorei bayis ha'yonim b'tachtonim, that's 2 examples. Continues the braisa, gag hayotzia, if it's a roof of like an annex to a house. Now a house is as tall as it is, and then you have like an annex that's sort of shorter than the house, that's right adjacent to the house. So here you have seemingly a roof that would naturally be available for your use. So Rashi explains what's the basis for why all these cases we're going to see in the braisa are ein tzrich and bedika. So what exactly is this case and why is Ein Tzrich and Bedika, says Rashi. Gag Hayatsia, Afal Pisha Hun Namuch. It's very low, so but not too low. Not, we're not talking about low like a chore tachtonim, so it's Namuch, meaning it's not like the Gag of a house. Ho'o Mishupa, but since this Gag Hayatsia, they made them slanty. Ein Tzarech Livdok, so there's no need to check over there because you're not going to be able to use it. It doesn't give you a surface area to use. Rashi continues, Avashar Gagin Shalen Loyim Shupa. And generally speaking, a roof was flat in those days, but a roof, of course, is not going to be used because it's all the way on top of the house. But the Gag HaYotzia, were it not to be slanty, it would have been perfectly available for use. But Rashi explains, because it was on a slant, it was annexes next to the house, they had roofs that were slanty. So again, it's not machnisim b'chametz. So that's a third example. That Rashi says, yetzias, anpritz, whatever the word is, it means an annex that's next to the house, a smaller, obviously smaller and shorter than the height of the house, but the roof is slanty. Gag ha-migdol. Migdol, Rashi says, mishtir shel eitz, shenostim letocho kelim ve'ochlim. So we're talking about like a big closet. Migdol doesn't mean a tower. Maybe it has a shape of a tower, so it's called migdol, but it means like a closet like that you use to store clothing, kelim, food. So there, the gag of that migdol, the roof of this tall closet, tochot tzarach bedikah below gago. Rashi doesn't explain exactly why. Mistama, because of the height. Probably the closet is a very high closet. So the gag is high. You're not going to use the gag of the migdol for chametz storage. So that's here. Now we have, that's a fourth example. Now we have refes bakar, velulin, umatbein. That's 5, 6, and 7. And then v'otzros yayin, v'otzros shemen. That's the eighth and the ninth example. Ein srichin bedika. So what are these examples? Refes bakar, that means an area where the animals are, the pen for the livestock. Belulin is the areas that the chicken coop, right? Matben is where you store straw. And then we have otzos yain, otzos shemen, it's where you store your wine and your oil. So let's look at and see exactly the reasons in these examples why there's no need for bedika. Rashi explains refes bakar. Interesting. We're talking about the rule of ein machnisin bo chametz, and here Rashi explains why is it classified as kol malkum she'im machnisin bo chametz, because had there been chametz, it would have been eaten from the by the animals. That's enough to qualify as ein machnisin, because it's not that you don't necessarily have ever had chametz there, but the fact that if there was chametz there, it would be gone. That's called imachnisin. That's according to Rashi. That's how you read it. That's the case of Refes Bakar. We'll see perhaps there's another pshat here, how to understand it. Lulin, makam diras tanagolin, where the chickens are, where they hang out. Rashi doesn't explain the reason, but mistama, the reason that Rashi just mentioned for the case of Refes Bakar goes on lulin, that the chickens would eat the chametz. So again, it's imachnisin because of that. Matvein beis ha-teven, where you keep the straw, the madarko shel chametz sham. That's simply a straightforward understanding why it's in machnisin. You don't keep chametz where the straw is. V'chein otzos yayin b'shemen as well. That's storage for wine and oil. It's not a place for chametz. And we're going to soon discuss that more in detail, where one might say that you could use it for chametz. But these are therefore a total of nine cases. Before we look more carefully at these cases, just a larger issue. The fact that the Mishnah is alluding to these cases with the extra word kol, that means that there's a chiddush. That means that there's something about these cases that you would not have necessarily right away assumed that they come under the rule of ein machnisin. Had it just said makom she'ein machnisin, I might not have assumed that these nine cases would qualify not to have bedika. By saying kol, that's marba these cases. Exactly what's the pshat? I mean, manafshach, if it's ein machnisin b'chametz, so then the same way that if it says makom she'ein machnisin ein tzarach bedika, wouldn't that naturally mean these cases don't need bedika? What's the pasuk pshat in the Gemara? Like, the fact that it says kol, that allows me to understand that these cases are in fact ein tzarachim bedika. If they don't, the reasons are all clear. These cases, as we saw, we had in Rashi, the various explanations and the various cases, is the hole is too high, the hole is too low, you're not going to be using it. Again, if the roof of the annex is slanty, if the animals are going to finish eating it, and so on, the tevin, like, what's the pshat? Exactly why would have you have thought that you would need bedika, and now the ko is marvet? What's the pashup pshat here?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Can we say, based off of what Rebbe was just saying before, that the one case here that seems to be strange is the one that really it is machnisim bo, but the animals take care of it, and that's the chiddush, And that's really, this entire brisa is being quoted just for the sake of those couple of cases.
I don't know. The Gemara had in mind asuya that case. It must go asuya hadatan rabbanan. Pashat, the Gemara means hadatan rabbanan means all those nine. I mean, Pashat, the Gemara quotes the brisa, and the ko is marba, that which you're saying it's going only on one case. I hear what you're suggesting, but that wouldn't be the pashtus. Pashtus is hadatan rabbanan means all these cases are what being included in the ko. That's what I would imagine. That my first instinct would be to say that it's going on everything. I mean, you're right. That is certainly, those cases certainly are different than the others, the way Rashi learns it. And we'll see other Rishonim seem to disagree. But there must be something in common to all these cases, that there is a chidush that comes out of them just for the fact that the word kol is coming to include them. So I would suggest as follows, that perhaps one could have thought that let's say the Mishnah would said Malkum Sheim Machnisim. So maybe that means that you have to know Bevadai Sheim Machnisim. What all these cases have in common is that Mistama, there's a Becheskas. Mistama, there's no Chametz here. Right? Mistama, you don't take Chametz to a Beis HaTeven, to where you have straw. You don't bring Chametz to Otsus Yain, Otsus Shemen. You don't use a space of a hole in the wall that's higher to low. And Mistama, the animals eat the Chametz that's in the pen and in the chicken coop. All these things are Mistamas. What makes it Imachnisin is because there's a Tliya. A Tliya means an Umdina. Umdina means that the average person would look at this case and they would say, doesn't seem like that's a place that chametz is placed. But maybe one could have thought, had it not been with the call of the Mishnah. So maybe the pshat would be, it's not enough to say, mistama, it's not used for chametz. You have to say, bevadai, I know there's no chametz here. I can certify. I never used that for chametz. It's not enough to go on a mistama. My nafkamina, simple nafkamina. I mean, usually it's the same thing, right? If mistama you don't use it, then mistama someone would ask you, do you ever use chametz? No, I never use chametz here. Doesn't it boil down to the same? Not necessarily, but even practical nafkamina. Socher and a maskir. So the maskir is maybe not around, and the socher we have the halacha that he gets the schiris before your dalit. Right, as with halachas and davdala that we saw earlier. So he now has a chiv to do the bedika. He got the key and everything. So his obligation is to do bedika in this house. Now he cannot vouch the vadai that there wasn't chametz put in any one of these places. So the balabais could say, I can tell you bevadai, I lived in this house for the past year. I never used it for chametz. But the sochi can't tell you that. So now that we're saying that these places are becheskas, that they don't have chametz, the kol is marbe, that these cases are becheskas in machnisin, so the socher is off the hook to do the checking in those locations. But again, had it not been for the kol, one would perhaps have made the standard higher, that you have to be able to say, that maybe is a svar that I think would go for all the examples, that the Mishnah's kol is telling me that as long as it's a makam that you can safely assume, again, safely assume it's not a vada, it's a safe assumption that emachnisin, that's called emachnisin, that's kol makom she'emachnisin. That's the chora what one could say pshat here. Now let's look a little more carefully at specifically those two cases that we recognize right away, they stood out from the rest. And those are the cases of Refes, Bakar, and Lulin. Refes Bakar, Rashi says explicitly, and Mistama, the reason that Rashi gives there is going on the other case as well, that if it's an area of where the livestock wander or the chickens live, so it's not requiring bedika because Rashi says that whatever chametz was there, the animals have eaten. So that's interesting, that's enough to call a machnis in b'chametz. In other words, we're not saying that you don't put chametz there. It's not like Rashi says by Beis HaTeven, that mat darko shel chametz sham. No, there could be chametz. It could be the food itself that you give the animals. It could be stam. You'd be eating there. You go there. You spend time there. But the fact that the animals are eating it makes it a machnis. Clearly, if we look at other rishonim, we get a different perspective. Take for example the Rili Milunil. The Rili Milunil on the Mishnah, in his comments on the words of the Mishnah, and then he brings some of these examples. So the Rimi Lunil puts everything in the same sentence, he says, "Kol makom she'imach nisin kigon." Chorei bayis hayonim ma'od she'in yodim agas behen v'atachtonim, that you have to bend mamish down to get there. David tashmishu b'tzar. U'kigon, refes bakar, v'lulin shel tarnagolin, and he goes on with the others, u'beis ha'teben, v'otzus yayin, v'otzus shemen, she'be'elu ein derech b'nei ad malachus go'tochem chametz. He doesn't separate refes bakar and give the reason that Rashi gives that the bakar are eating it. He puts it in the same list, and he says about all of them, ein derech b'dam l'achas b'am chametz, it's a different shot. In other words, you don't bring chametz to a refes bakar, you don't bring chametz to a lulzul tanagolim. L'chara, that's another way to understand this brisa and these cases. The Me'iri kind of puts both together. The Me'iri kind of says both things. He starts by saying, we find it in the Me'iri. Refes baka beluin, makom dias tanegolim, she'en darkan shel elu betashmish shel chametz. And then he says, va'afilu kein behemos betanegon achluhu. Like he throws in the other possibility, which is what Rashi says. He starts by saying, ein darkan, and then he says the other thing. But l'chara, these are two different ways to read the din. How does it sound from the Rambam, and how does it sound from the Shulchan Aruch? How did they learn the din of refes bakar and lo shel tanegolim? Is it based on that it's not the derech to bring chametz like the Rimi Lunil, or is it based on what Rashi says that it's emach nisim bo chametz because it's eaten by the animals? So in the Rambam, it's mamish kimat mefurish that he's learning like the Rimi Lunil. Because if you look in the Rambam mentions the case of chatzar in Halacha Dalet. Now in Halacha Dalet, the Rambam says, as we noted yesterday, that what part of the chatzar does the Rambam hold ein tzarech bedika because of the birds? Remember that? What did he see yesterday? The emsa. So the Rambam brings in Halacha Dalet. He says that emsa chatzar ein tzarech bedika b'nisha ofos mitzuyim sham behein ochen kocham shayiposha. Good. That's the Rambam Halacha Dalet. Then you go on in the Rambam in Halacha Vav, and here the Rambam is mentioning the cases Kamar Braisa, Chorei Abayis Tachtonim Velyonim, Vigaga Yetzia, Verefes Bokar, Veluin, Umatbein, Veotzus Yain, Veotzus Shemin, we'll get to this soon. And then he says, En Tzrichim Bedika, Elen Ken Yechnis Lehen Chametz. So the Rambam is going with the idea that it's not a makom shemachnis, and unless you know, you are machnis. And the Rambam goes at the end and explains, you know, that this is the halacha, that because it's not the derech lachnis chametz. So the Rambam is mashma that the reason for refes bakar and lulin is exactly the same reason as the examples of chorin and so on. It's not because of a new reason. And that's l'chora al derech terimi lunil. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, where does the Shulchan Aruch bring the halacha of refes bakar? So it's interesting. In halacha, in Taf Lamed Gimel Sivav, the Shulchan Aruch, quite interestingly, brings in the same halacha the din of refes bakar and lo tanegolim and the din of emsa achatzer. If you remember, emsa achatzer is what the Rambam said doesn't need bedika because of the birds. So the Shulchan Aruch brings that as well, emsa achatzer, but he brings it together with the din of refes bakar. Sivav says the Shulchan Aruch, refes shel bakar ein tzarech bedika, she'im hayasham chametz, habehemos yochluhu. V'chein lo she tanegolim ein tzarech bedika, mefurish, v'pnei she'im hayasham chametz, tanegolim yochluhu. And the third case, v'chein emtza shel chatzer ein tzarech bedika, she'im hayasham chametz, ha'or v'mosher ofus ha'mitzim sham yochluhu. So the Shulchan Aruch is mefurish, right, here in Sivav, how the three examples are classified as one principle, the refes bakar, the lo tanegolim, and the emsal chatzer, the wildlife, the animals, the birds, the chicks, whatever, they're going to eat the chametz. And that's the reason ein tzarech bedika. This is clearly not the way it seems from the Rambam. This is clearly more al derech Rashi. Okay, the emsal chatzer that he took from the Rambam, that's only emsal chatzer, not the sides of the chatzer, but the principle is that the ofos eat it, and that's the same halacha. And again, it comes out that goes into the category of emach nisim b'chametz of the brais. So it's interesting that the Braisa is saying that is an expansion of the rule of kol makom she'em machnisim bo chametz. And for Rashi, you can include the cases of refes bakalush tanigolim, which are based on the fact that the animals or the chickens eat the chametz to quote em machnisim bo chametz. And so the Shulchan Aruch. And the Rambam has to explain at Rimi Lunil that it's because you simply don't bring chametz here. What does this maybe depend on? Is there another aspect, another factor that can be brought into the mix to better explain what this is about? Why we would call this emachnisin b'chametz based on the animals eating it, according to Rashi, according to the Shulchan Aruch, and not according to the Rambam? So, l'chayra, maybe it depends on the following. Everyone hear the question we're asking? Yeah? Rabosa, are you with me? Like, interesting. Do you consider the fact that you assume that the animals are eating it as to be able to classify this case as a makom she'em machnisim chametz, or is it only called em machnisim chametz because you simply don't bring chametz there, like Rimi Lunil says? Maybe it has to do with the very hemshach of the machaber that we mentioned yesterday regarding the case of what type of chametz, what type of situation are we discussing? Are we talking about safik chametz or are we talking about vadei chametz? So, l'mashal, in the Rambam, there's no indication in the Rambam by the case of Chatzer, where he says, emtza chatzer doesn't need bedika, that this is only when you don't know for sure if there was chametz. But if you knew that for sure there was chametz, we can be tola on the birds. The Rambam just says, mefurish, emtza chatzer ein tzarach bedika. Sounds like, for all you know, the chametz, you knew you had chametz there. But Lamaisa ain't Sarach Medika, because you can tell me, you know, the Ophos ate it. It's a Vaday. It's a Vaday. Even though the Chametz was Vaday, but the Ophos eating it is also a Vaday. That's what it gets from the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch, on the other hand, the Beis Yosef quoted Rishonim that said this way, and this is how he codifies it. He continues, as we read yesterday, he says, right after bringing the case of Chatzer on the heels of the other cases, he says, Vahani Mili Misafik Chametz. This that we are saying, that you don't need to check the emtzal chatzer, you don't have to check the refes bakar, the gultana golem, it's all when it's a suffix chametz, of a vadei chametz lo. Right? In other words, as the Mishnah Berurah explains in Shivkat and Chavav, the bevadei chametz lo samchina nal zeh, ain't suffix motzi midei vadei. You have a vadei chametz, and you think that maybe the mustam of the animals ate it, but you don't know for sure, and you had a vadei chametz. So the case that you don't need bedika is a case of suffik chametz. So I was thinking like this. Maybe this is underlying the machlokes, whether we understand the case of refes bakar gul tarnagolim like Rashi, and you might say like the Shulchan Aruch, or we understand it like the Rimi Lunil and the Ramba. Is the reason why we consider this to be imachnisim b'chametz because you simply don't bring chametz, or is it because of the tliya that the birds and the animals ate it? If we're talking about vadai chametz, like the Rambam would seem to have it, it doesn't make any chiluk between suffik and vadai. It means it's a vadai chametz, but it's a vadai they ate it. So how could you tell me that the reason why don't bedika is with imachnisim b'chametz? The reason I'm bedika is because, you know, the chametz was taken care of. It was eaten. It's a whole different halacha. No shaykh is to the other examples of the braisa then. It's not about imachnisin. It's about the fact that it's a vada. You know, the chickens, they ate the chametz. So it's a different halacha, totally. Doesn't belong with the rest. It must be that the pshat in this halacha is different. That it's simply imachnisin bo chametz, and that's why you don't have to check, because you don't bring chametz there. But it can't be the pshat of Rashi of the Shulchan Aruch. Why can the Shulchan Aruch hold? Why can we say b'das Rashi that the fact that we can suggest that the animals ate it, the birds ate it, the chickens ate it? Why do we consider that to be makom she'em machnisin? Because to begin with, it was a safek chametz. So now, to the extent that you might have had chametz, you can counter that possibility with the fact that, but to the extent that there might have been chametz, but that chametz that may have been there would have been gobbled up. So that's called emachnisin. I can more readily view it as emachnisin. You're not putting everything on the weight of the of a vados that the chicks or that the animals ate it. It's basically starting out with the possibility, but not a vaday. So if you just have to now respond to the possibility by saying, but that possibility is not something you have to entertain anymore as a possibility, because that possibility can be neutralized by the counter svara of the animals eating it. So now it basically goes back to a default. That's called imachnisin. I'm more readily allowing to consider it imachnisin if it's a suffix to begin with, whether there's chametz, not a vade chametz, a suffix chametz, and then there's always the fact that the animals eat it. So now that's called imachnisin b'chametz, because whatever chametz might have been there is gone by now. At least to the extent that it might have been there, it's just as well could have been eaten. But a vade chametz, you wouldn't say that. Masha'ekin, if it were to be a real vados that we know for sure they ate it, it's a different halacha totally. So I think maybe that could explain a little bit more about why we would want to learn pshat like Rashi as opposed, and we could comfortably learn like Rashi as opposed to the other suggestion of the Rimi Lonil. This has been a ger refes baker. Any questions, Chevra? This is good, possibly? Yeah. Okay.
Rabbi?
Go ahead.
Quick question. So, regarding if we say like the Shulchan Aruch saying within Rashi that we consider it a makom shei machnisim b'chametz, and we said that we have a suffik chametz, and then we have, I guess, a suffik that the birds or the animals may have eaten it. So wouldn't it just be a sveik sveika to be lahakel? Is that what's going on here?
I wouldn't use the term sveik sveika. I would say that, in other words, the possibility of that there is becomes now neutralized, and mamela, it's no longer viewed as a suffik. Sveik sveika is a different principle. I don't know if that would be the way to. I mean, we'll have to see with Otsus Daniel, Otsus Shemin, how to think about this kind of thing. You have a lot of sfeikos. Sometimes a lot of sfeikos could also be a problem. We'll see later in the wine cellar. Could it be that he went there to get some extra wine? Yes. Could it be that he had bread with him, the waiter? Yes. Could it be he left it there? Yes. And that's called machnisim b'chametz. You don't call that sfeik sfeika. You call that machnisim b'chametz. So obviously, this is better. There are a lot of tliyas that could sometimes still call machnisin b'chametz. Here, the issue is it's a suffik chametz, but it's just as well likely that it was eaten. So therefore, we're back to square one. It's called a machnisin. All right, this is in terms of the inyan of refes baka. Let's continue with the otzus yain shemen.
Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So yeah. According to the way Rabbi just explained the Rambam and the Rimi Lineal, how is that a chiddush? In comparison to what we just said in the Mishnah, because then it's just exactly.
You're precisely right. So let's keep our halakha. According to Rash, according to the Rambam, Rimi Lunil, the reason why Refes Bakar is not requiring Bedika is because you don't bring chametz there. The Rambam quotes Refes Bakar and Lulin together with examples like Chorei Bayis Tachtonim and Elyonim and Otsos Yayin. In other words, the Rambam is understanding Refes Bakar not requiring Bedika, not the way Rashi learned. That's how we began. Rashi understood it because the behemoths would eat the chametz. And Rashi is good, comfortable calling that a machnisim b'chametz and fitting it with the other examples. The Rambam, the Rimi Lunil, learned that reason why it's Ein Tzarech Bedika is because it's simply a machnisin. You don't bring chametz to that location. So, and Rashi learns that the reason it's called a machnisin is because you can assume the animals ate it. We're suggesting that issue could also hinge on another issue, namely, is it a case of a suffik chametz, or is it even a case of a vadeh chametz? If we're going to allow ourselves, even by vadeh chametz, the ptur for bedika because of the fact that we can assume the animals bevaded, the animals ate it, then I don't see how you can call that a machnisin b'chametz. It's a new idea that you know the chametz is more of a stretch. If the whole inyan is a suffix, then I can use the fact that you can counter the tzad that chametz is there with the umdina that the animals ate it, and therefore compartmentalize it as a machnisin b'chametz. That's my thinking. Clear? Eliar, it's good?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see a little weiter in the sugya. Says the Gemara, after quoting this long brice of the nine examples, Frag the Gemara, Kasha. Actually, we have more to go. Before we have the Kasha, we have more in the brice that we didn't yet read, okay? Continues the brice, I guess. We're holding up Shim Gamliel. The Gemara is soon going to ask a stira from another brice. Shim Gamliel Omer. So now we have another statement regarding when you don't need to do bedika. Mita hacholekes betoch habayis, mita umafsekes tzvicha bedika. Actually, you do need bedika. An example, this is a case of needing bedika. The Gemara is going to ask a stira assumed from another braisa. Mita hacholekes betocha bais, a bed that's dividing a room in a house, dividing a house, and umafsekes, it creates a division. It needs a bedika. Exactly what does this mean? What, where is this bedika? Machokes, Rashi and Tosis. Let's start with Rashi. Rashi says as follows. Mita hacholekes means mamidim osa b'makom mechitza l'chalek tashmishi abayis. You want to use the house for different purposes, multi-purpose room, multi-purpose house, and you have this divider. So what did they use as a divider? They used this big piece of furniture, a mita, and that gives you a sense of one part of the house, another part of the house, and different functions in different parts of the house. But Rashi emphasizes v'urcha denosa naka. In other words, the fact that it's cholekes is not relevant to the hilchas bedikas chametz. Important nekuda here. This is what Tosis is going to disagree with. Rashi is learning that it's a mita cholekes. Just simply that was the way it was. Umafsekes means, says Rashi, yesh hefsik bein shuleho lekarka. So Rashi learns that there's a gap between the ground and the bottom of the mita. In other words, you have the legs of the mita and you have the bottom of the mita. The legs protrude down to the ground. And that area between the legs, right beneath the bottom of the mita, is an area that is possibly a place for chametz. Kegon sh'ragleh gevoyen lemata. So according to Rashi, the pshat of Shim Gamliel is that in the case of this mita, that happens to be a mita cholekes, because that's the norm of what people used to use the mita in the house for, to be cholek, to divide the house, divide it as if you had like a separate room now within the larger room. It's like two separate rooms, but it's not the point of the halacha. It's the point of the halacha is nafsekes, that there's a gap beneath the bed. Rashi says, the legs have a height to them, and the question is, do you need to do bedika underneath? So that's the chidush. You have to do bedika underneath the bed. This is Rashi. Okay, so we have again 9 cases of ein sarach bedika, and we have a case, a mita, again, a shayla negirsa, but we're going now with the girsa shalifaneinu, that mita cholekes tzricha bedika. So Rashi Gamliel is actually talking about a case that's different than the other examples, a case of mita cholekes requiring bedika. Frag digamar uminu. Now we have a stira from another braisa. This braisa says as follows. Chor sheben adam lachavera. If you have a hole that separates between two people's living spaces, so zeb, and the hole can be used, of course, but it goes obviously through to the other side where the other person lives. Zeb bodek ad makom shiyado magas, v'zeb bodek ad makom shiyado magas, v'ashar mevatlo b'libo. So this halacha is that each person does a bedika where, as far as his hand can reach, because that's the place that he's mishtamish, and whatever is the in-between where each person's hand cannot reach doesn't need bedika, you can rely on bitl. This interesting halacha that has to be explained in its own right, exactly. The fact that you need bedika is because mistama, you're assuming it's a chor that's for use, that you can use. But the fact that the part in between doesn't need bedika, but bitl is required and sufficient, that's not so clear. What's the pshat? There's a riches in Rabbeinu David. Maybe we'll come back to it. Rabbeinu David talks about this issue in terms of the fact that perhaps you could say it's not a chshasha mayavala ochlo, because it's not, it's not necessarily going to come out. But again, you see you need bitl. So we'll have to see more maybe details about this particular nekuda of the hasha'ar that mevatlo b'libo. But continues the braisa. So that's one halacha, that you need bedika by a chor as far as you can reach. Now we have Shim Gamliel, the same Tana that we saw in the earlier braisa that made a statement about mita hacholekes. And here he says the following. Shim Gamliel, omer mita hacholekes betoch habayis, same example. But he adds another detail that wasn't mentioned before. The eitzim ba'avanim sidurim tachteha. There's wood and there's pebbles that are organized underneath the bed. Okay, so I have to know if that's relevant or not, how relevant that is. Umafsekes, the same lashon that we had before, mafsekes. And the bottom one is, the din is enesvicha bedika. So whatever we saw a case of mita before that needed bedika, now we see enesvicha bedika. We saw a case earlier of chorei bayis that don't need bedika, and here we have the case of a chor that each person has to check as far as they can reach. Kasha mita, mita, kasha chor. So we have a stira on two counts. In the first braisa, chorin did not require bedika. In the second braisa, we require bedika shemakam jadam magas. Regarding mita, the first braisa of Shimon Gamliel himself said that tzricha bedika mita cholekes. In the second braisa, he says that in a tzricha bedika, the fact that eitzim mavanim sidurim, the Gemara doesn't seem to make much of an issue of. The Gemara says bottom one ain't tzricha bedika, it's a stira mita mita. The Gemara answers one by one. Chorin achorin lo kasha. Regarding the stira of chorin, it's not a problem. Habi iloyu b'tatoy, habi mitzi. Depends exactly the location of the holes. If they are at a high, very high point or very low point, like the Lashon before, where you're yon tachtonim, that's where you don't need bedika because you don't use it. However, if it's in the middle area, that would require bedika. That's what the case that we're talking about. So that resolves the stira from chorin achorin. Mita amita lokasha, the stira about mita, ha de medalia, ha de mita tai. One is when the mita is elevated, one is when it's lower. Let's take a look at Rashi and see what this means. Zok Rashi. Ad makom sheyado magas, that's the case of chorin, kigon shakosel av harbi, very thick wall. Umafsekes yish avir ben shuleho le'etzim. Umafsekes means that there's a gap. Again, Rashi's focusing on the mafsekes, that you have to discuss the area under the bed. Again, Rashi's consistent here. Whenever we talk about a bedika by a mita, we're talking not about the other side of the mita in the house. We're talking about the area beneath the mita. And the key word mafsekes means that there's a gap underneath the mita. So in this first case, it doesn't mention eitzim. It just talked about there's a floor and there's a gap between the floor and the bottom of the mita. In the second braisa, it happens to be there eitzim tachteha, but the point of mafsekes is that there's a gap between what the eitzim are, which are on the floor and the bottom of the bed. And the halacha was stated that ein tzricha bedika. So that's where we have the stira mita amita. Rashi continues. Kasha chon achorin de katana hacha chorin tzricha bedika. So the Gemara says, "Ha diktani le'el ein tzrichin be'iloy v'tatoy she'inocha tashmishtam." It's not easy to use. Kediktani be'hedya, v'ha be'emtsoy she'inochem le'istamish. That's why you need to check. What about the steer mita mita? Says the Gemara, "Ha d'medalia." Rashi says she'gvoa harbi. Medalia means it's elevated, very elevated. V'yesh avir tachteha harbe. If there's a lot of gap underneath the bed, very tall legs, then nocha tashmishte, then the space under the mita is considered a convenient space to use. And that's where the Shem Gamil said in the first braisa, it's tzricha bedika, because it's a very elevated bed. However, in the second braisa, the mitatai apishish ksasa avir ein nocha tashmishte. So maybe the fact that it mentions eitzim v'avanim is because more likely when the eitzim v'avanim underneath on the floor, there's less of a gap. Maybe that's why it accounts for the other point. But either way, the Gemara's focus in Mita is whether or not you need the bedika beneath the Mita. Keep this in mind because Tosis is going to have a very different shot. But according to Rashi, that's the issue and that's the answer. Is it a bed that's tall and there's more gap under the bed, or is it less gap between the Eitzim Vavanim in this case and the bottom of the bed? Meanwhile, let's just continue to the a little more in the Gemara. We'll get to eventually to the Tosis about Mita. Back to Gemara Kasha. Okay, so now we have, what have we done so far? We've seen 9 examples of not requiring bedika. We've seen a case of mita that needs bedika. We've seen another braisa that talks about chorin requiring bedika, and we explained the difference. And the case of mita in the second braisa that doesn't need bedika, and again, we've accounted for that as well. But meanwhile, in the list of 9, what did we have in our list? We had otzros yayin and otzros shemen. Those were the last 2 of the 9 that don't need bedika. The Gemara is going to focus on those cases right now. Fact the Gemara. But otzros yayin ain't sarach bedika. Is it really true that a place where you store wine does not need bedika? It's called ein makom she'machlisin b'chametz. It's included in the call of the Mishnah. Ay, v'asanya, we have a braisa otherwise. Otzros yayin, sarach bedika. Otzros shemen in sarach bedika. Here, the braisa clearly distinguishes between the 2 examples, that the braisa before mentioned both examples together, not requiring bedika. Here we see otzros yayin do need bedika. So how do you account for that stira? And for the Gemara Chabayaskinan b'mistapek. the case that you need bedika by otzvus yayin is a case of mistapik. What does mistapik mean? Rashi. Mistapik means you have to replenish, right? Zogt Rashi. Otzer she mistapik heimenu yayin l'shulchano. It's an otzer that the norm is that you need you go down to that otzer. It's not just a storage area for long term when you want to use it to sell or whatever. It's mamish there to service you if you run out for your meal. You go to that otzer. It's an otzer mistapik. Then tzarech bedika. And why is that? Because of the following possible scenario. Pa'amim shashamash nichnas lahavi yayin. The people who are dining upstairs run out of wine. Wine was a beverage of choice for the sudos. And the shamish, the waiter, has to go there to get more, has to get wine. Kishu kala ala shulchan. There's no more wine on the table. People want more wine to drink. And meanwhile, he has his meal. He has his chametz with him with pito biyada. So again, going to the point mentioned earlier, this is not exactly one assumption. There's a lot of things have to come together here to assume that it was chametz. And that is called Malkam Shemachnisin Bo Chametz. That it could be that the wine ran out, because this is an old such mistapik. It could be the shamash has to go down, and he happens to hold his bread with him, and he happens to leave the bread in the otzer when he gets the wine. Okay, but that's called Machnisin Bo Chametz. That's the case of the second brayse. Affect the Gemara. Yihachi Shemen Nami. The same brayse goes on and says, otzer with shemen ain't tzarech bedika. So the same thing could be with shemen. They run out of shemen. The stomach, whatever the case is, the otzvus yayin would be otzvus shemen. So then you could also have such a possibility. Says Gemara, no, that wouldn't happen. Shemesh, shemen yesh kva la'achila, yayin ain't kva l'shtia. What does it mean, Rashi? Yesh kva la'achila, yodea hu kama shemen tzarech l'kach. In other words, you imagine for your suda, you need a certain amount of oil for your meal. And you bring it up to begin with before you start your meal. You're not going to run out. You know you can do a proper assessment and it's not going to change. That assessment is usually what's correct. There are this many people here. This is how much shemen you need. So there's no chametz issue. It's not going to happen that suddenly they're going to find themselves in the meal and they need more shemen and then he's going to have his bread and go down for more shemen. Avu yayin. Ain keva l'shtia. There's no way to define it and lock it in. Things are very much in flux. Things can constantly change. Suddenly a person decides they need more yayin. It could happen. Pa'amim, sheshtia suda zu meruba mishalesmo. Every meal, there's no two meals that are identical. It can be the same 10 people or a different 10 people, the same number of people, and they'll consume this much yayin and this suda, and they'll consume twice as many. You can't really know. So it could happen, therefore, you can't really control it. And therefore, the possibility remains that he'll go down if they'll run out and he'll have his bread and leave it in the otzer. Okay, so it comes out from this sugya that there is, in fact, nafkamina, l'halacha, for bedikas chametz, otzvus yayin, as this brayser would have it, by a case of mistapik, otzvus yayin sarach bedika, otzvus shem ein sarach bedika. That's what comes out. Continues the Gemara Tani Rav Chia has a brayser. Asu otzvus sheicha bibavel ke otzvus yayin be'eretz Yisrael bimistapik. So in Bavel, the beverage of choice was beer. The beer I believe used in Bavel was date beer, if I'm not mistaken, for other sugyas, not what we're familiar with. So it's not that the sheicha itself is chametz. That's not the issue. The issue is that you can go down to your cellar where you have your date beer and bring bread to it when you're running out of your beverage of beer upstairs. So the point is that in Bavel, that was what they drank a lot of, and they could run out easily. When you're using it to replenish. So in keva l'shtiyaso, the same way in keva l'yayin, it's in keva l'shecha b'bavel. A couple more halachas. Amar Rav Chisda, Bei Dogim Ein Sarach Bedika. Bei Dogim is where you have fish for your meals. So that doesn't need to be checked. That doesn't have to be checked because you don't bring chametz there. Says the Gemara, affecting by Sanya Tzricha Bedika. We have another brayse that says otherwise. And for the Gemara, Lo Kash Habaravri Habizutri. Depends if it's big fish or a small fish. What's the pshat? Rashi. Habaravavi, ain't sarach bedika. If it's large fish, yeshlem keva v'omed, you know how much you're bringing to your table, and it's not going to run out, and that's what you have. You're not going to go down later to store to bring more fish. Zutri engan keva v'omed. Again, it's hard to know, it's hard to predict. So it's a similar thing to mistapek principle that we saw before. That's small fish. Vaiter amarabba barav huna. Other halachas here from Amorayim, Bei Milchi Ubei Kiri, Tzarech Bedika. Bei Milchi Ubei Kiri, Rashi says, Bei Samelach, where you store salt. Bei Kiri is where you store wax for candles, Shaiva. So these places, these rooms, these areas that you store salt or wax need to be checked. Why? Fisha Omed Mitocha Suda. Again, it could happen in the middle of your meal that you suddenly need more salt, or you need to bring more neros. So anytime there's a such situation, potential, that you have to, you leave your meal to get, to go to that location to get more of what's stored there, then you end up having chametz there. That's called makim shemach nisim bo chametz. Amar Papa, Beit Sivi, Beit Tamri tzarech bedika. Beit Sivi is where you store wood, right? Beit Sivi. And Beit Tamri is where you have beer. Again, Rav Papa made beer. I think, again, that was because they made beer from tamarin. So he spoke about a Beit Tamri. Again, that needs bedika. Okay, so this is basically the sugya in terms of many more details. Let's talk a little bit about the otzus yain, otzus shemen, and then we'll have to see if we have time to start on the tosus of mita. The Rambam and the Rach, the Chora, is something very strange. If you read the Rambam, the halacha here, it doesn't seem to square with the sugya. I mean, the Rambam and also the Rach. Maybe let's look at the Rach first. Rach was before the Rambam. The Rambam may have been based on the Rach. The Rach says, take a look in the Gilyon of the Gemara. What does he say about Otzvus Yayin and Otzvus Shemen? What do we have in our sugya? Otzvus Yayin by Mistapek, that requires Bedika. Otzvus Shemen, so Yesh Keva L'Achila, and therefore no need for Bedika. What does the Rach say? Oats was yain b'shemen she'ein mistapkin mehem be'enich nasin behem b'chosa. You don't go in there regularly. We'll have to see. Maybe he has a different take on mistapik. We'll see. Derekel mecha shemen nichnas adam l'sham b'pastor b'yada b'shakcho ko elu ein tzvichin b'dika. So what does he sound like from the Rach? Oats was yain b'shemen she'ein mistapkin ein tzarech b'dika. Okay, and what if it's mistapik? Then what? Then tzarech bedika. When? Which cases? The Rav doesn't give us that distinction that we saw in the Gemara. If, matter of fact, if you go down further in the Rav, after the case of Mita, the Imheim, go down after the case of Mita in the Rav, he says, Mefurish, the din is by mistapek, you need bedika in both cases. Take a look, Rabosei. Go down a number of lines in the Rach. The imheim, otzros, yayin, b'shemen, b'mistapek mehen. Right? V'chein, otzros, sheikha, b'bavel, ubei dagim ketanin, ubei tzivi, ubei tamri, ubei milchi, ubei kiri, kon tzvicha bedika. So he puts in one sentence all those cases that need bedika that we saw at the end of the Gemara, of where you have wood, where you have wax, where you have in Bavel the beer and the small fish, and otzros yayin v'shemen b'mistapik. So Chora, what's happening here? What's happening? The Ben Hananel is putting shemen and yayin in the same category by mistapik to require bedika. If you look in the Rambam, you get the similar sense from the Rambam. The Rambam in Halacha Vav, right, starts off Chori Bayis Tachton Mayonin Gaga Yitzir Efes Bakar Loin Matbein Baotzus Yayin Baotzus Shemen Sheena Mistapik Ubeis Dagim Gedolin En Tzichem Bedika. Right, so all the cases that don't need Bedika, they include Otzus Yayin Baotzus Shemen Sheena Mistapik. The Ram continues, Ava Otsus Shechar, the Otsus Yain Shemistapik, Ubeis Hamelach, Ubeis HaShaiva, Tzvichen Bedika. Now, it's interesting. The Rambam starts, something is strange in the Rambam. The Rambam starts by saying Otsu Oats with Shemen, Shem Mistapik. Then he says Oats with Yayin, Shem Mistapik. So, something is strange. It doesn't mention Shemen the second time like the Rach does, but the Rambam puts Oats with Shemen with Eina Mistapik earlier. That would suggest that Oats with Shemen by Mistapik would require Bedika. The Ravid is already Masik on the Rambam. Tar B'Shemen, says the Ravid. The Gemara that we just read. And the Rambam puts also Shemen in Mistapik in Tzrich Bedika. Strangely, he doesn't mention it again by the case of Mistapik, but Lemaisa, the Rambam's clearly mashma that it's only by Shemen in Mistapik. And again, L'chaira, something sounds, you know, a disconnect between our Sugya, and that's what the Ravid says.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
What does it mean, even that Shemen, you wouldn't have to check, even if it's Mistapik, because it's a Yesh, like because it's Kevel HaSipa. Like,
right.
Isn't the whole point that Mistapik means that you get because you know how much?
No. Mistapik means, really, I'm sorry, that I probably should have clarified. Mistapik means that it's an Otzer that you go directly there to put on your table. Now, so it doesn't mean by definition it's only when you're running out. The pshat is like this. You can have an otzer of whatever that's for a retail sale. It's not where you go when you want to put your food on your table. It's a separate otzer. And then there's the otzer that is specifically, you go there to put on your table. You go there for your yayin that you're going to serve on your table. Go there for your shemen. But that means you're using it to bring al shulchano. But the question is, you bring on your shulchano before your meal, and you know how much it's going to need for the meal. You're not going to have to run back and get more in the middle of your meal. Or can it also be that you're running out of it in the middle of your meal, and then you have to run out, pardon the pun, you have to run out to get more to bring to your table. But mistabik just means that you're going to use it with shulchano. That's what I think. The Ran on the Rif, right? Let's take a look. If you look in the Ran on the Rif, the Mistapik, right? The Mistapik. The Rif says, let's take a look at the Rif when he quotes this Braisa, a Chori Bayis, he says, Oats with Yayin, the Shemen, Ein Tzvichen Bedika. It's interesting. That's the Rif just quotes like that. Says the Ran, again, Otsar, what is Mistapik? Otsar she Mistapik Yayin l'shulchano. Sarech Bedika, she pa'am she Hashem is nuchas sham be'em sasuda u'pito b'yado. Avo Shemen, says the Ran on the Rif, Muchach b'gemar da'afil b'mistapik ain't Sarech Bedika. And sipuka just means to supply for your meal. That's what it's not so much replenish as much as to supply you for your meal. So avalonis parizeb behalachos. Now this distinction about shemen, that you don't need to worry by shemen because you have what you have and you know how much it's going to be. It's not mentioned in the Rif. Why not? So this is already a little bit of a hara. This is our hara on the Rach and the Rambam, and the Rif also doesn't mention that whole nekuda. The Efsher, the Hainu time, says the Ran, possibly the Kevin Shenagul Achshav Lahadik B'Shemen, we use Shemen for our lights. Have a lot of Shemen Kibei Kiri Daminu Kamad Sarach Bedika. We had in the Gemara later that a wax storage area needs Bedika because you go there possibly if you run out of candles in your meal, the candle's going out. So the shemen is the same. The shemen is not just for your suda for food. The shemen can be for your fuel. So therefore, the halacha based on the society became that otsu shemen, what the Gemara says, is no longer valid because there's another consideration in shemen, and that's shemen for your fuel. L'hadlik b'shemen. So that's interesting suggesting that the Ran has that would account for the Rif's not mentioning it. And again, the Rach and the Rambam. Rabbeinu David also deals with this. He says apparently there was maybe another Gisa that they had in the Gemara. You know, according to the Ran, the Gisa in the Gemara they had, but the Halacha didn't end up being that way because of the fact that today Otsu Shemen becomes the same as Beikiri. So it's we'll be reading a bit more into the Rambam and the Rif. You look in the Rabbeinu David, he quotes the Rambam. Harav Moshe ben Maimon Kasav's Otfus Shemen b'mistapek mehen tficha bedika. Right? That's how the Rambam begins. That's what the Ravid was jumping all over the Rambam on. The E.F. Shekain, Ufigir Suzu. According to Argius and the Gemara, you can't say that. The Gemara says that Otfus Shemen, right, b'mistapek, in the Gemara says basically Otfus Shemen never needs bedika. Because there's no such, in other words, because it's not yesh keva l'achila, even if it's mistapik for the Suda, but you know how much you're bringing before the Suda. The Rambam actually didn't say what he's quoting in the Rambam. It's a diuk. As we remember, we read the Rambam. Otsus yain v'otsus shemen she'ena mistapik. And then the Rambam says, avo otsus sheikhar v'otsus yain shem mistapik. The Rambam never said, and this is a discussion, the Rambam never said bepem mole, otsus shemen b'mistapik needs bedika, but he certainly was mashma that way. But anyway, that's how the Rabbeinu David quoted from the Rambam. He says it can be. Avo matzu nuscha yishana. And what does he bring? Nuscha yishana. The hasanya. Now what do we have in our Gemara? The hasanya otsros yayin. The asanya otsros yayin tzarech bedika otsros shemen ain't tzarech bedika. So the kasha from was otsros yayin, but this gersa was the asanya otsros yayin vi otsros shemen tzrichin bedika. So the kasha was twofold from shem yayin on yayin and shemen on shemen. According to that gersa, the Gemara's second brisa that the Gemara was asking from was head on sfira, not just from yayin, but also from shemen. And the Gemara gave a teretz, ki tanya yehi b'mistapik. So it comes out that what the Gemara was saying is exactly what the Rabbeinu Chanan was saying and what the Rambam is implying. That in the Chanan, mistapik, and the ain keva, not for yayin, not for shem. So therefore, that would be another way to understand the Rambam, that the Gersa, in fact, was very different than our Gersa. And they bring in the bottom, that Mam Chalava brings such a pshat in the Rambam as well. Nelsi Kalim. Then he brings the other point of the Rambam, that Lamaisa, for us, if we use Shemen, then we have to anyway consider it to be Mistapek, just like Beikiri. I was thinking of this. There's something else to consider as a possibility in all of this. What does it mean? What is the Inyan of Mistapek? It's called machnisin b'chametz. How did Rashi learn it? Because pa'amim, the shamish goes down and he has his bread and he leaves the bread there when he goes to get a bottle of wine and so on. That's called machnisin b'chametz. I don't know. In the Rach, you get a different sense in what machnisin b'chametz means in the case of otzros yayin and what mistapik really means. The Rach seems to say, doesn't say much, but just to glean a little bit from the Lashon, he says the Russian this oats was yain the shemen shein the stapkin the ain nichnasin behen bechol sha. Derekel mecha shemen nichnas adam l'sham bepasi biyado. It's not per se that's the case. It's not that's okay. But what's the mashmos of the rach? The other case of mistapik, the equivalent is that nichnasin bechol sha. So what I think I see in the rach is that the pshat is not. The fact that I can imagine such a scenario happening, you know, that's called nachlisim b'chametz. Like, who knows if it ever happens? Who knows if how many times it came that they ran out of wine and he went with his bread and he left the bread there? But that, according to Rashi, that's nachlisim b'chametz. The Rach is saying different. If it's mistapek, that means that it's an area that it's heavily trafficked. Mistapik means you use it for your table. So if it's by definition a cellar that you go, you use it a lot. It's used for your table. It means you constantly, there's people going in and out. Nemela, the chshash of leaving bread there is certainly kayam. But it's not that the possibility of his going in is what defines it as machlis and b'chametz. It's the fact that it's a room that's heavily trafficked that defines it as such. Memela, the chash of him leaving bread is is a real chash because it's a room that's used. So it's a different twist on the words of the Mishnah of why it's called machlisim b'chametz by oats with shiayin. It's not the scenario that defines it as such. It's the fact that you're using that room. The mastapik is a way of defining the room as a room that's heavily used. If it's heavily used, then we know what to be afraid of. Just like any room that's heavily used that people go in and out of. And if you could be carrying chametz when you go in, many of those occasions, you have a problem. That's called machnisim bo chametz. If it would not be a heavily used room, you wouldn't just come up with a new chash that pa'amim nechnas or pito biyado to call machnisim bo chametz. It has to start off that it's heavily trafficked because there's a lot of people going in and out. You have to bring in, you have to supply the table with yayin, with shemen. And that's good for why shemen is no different than yayin. Because it's not about yesh kevelish l'achila, in kevelish tia. Maybe the girsa wasn't in the Gemara either. It's the pshat, it's a heavily trafficked room. Memela, you can walk in there, you can walk in with pito biyado. It doesn't even mention that you're going. The Shamish is doing it. Notice, according to Rashi, who's going the Pito Biyado? The Shamish. Doesn't even say the Shamish. He says, what did I say in the Rach? Does he mention the Shamish? I don't think he mentioned anything about a Shamish. Most often the people that would find
he their says, way. The Lashon is Nechnas Adam.
Adam, yeah, so that's the word. That's what I'm saying. According to the Rach, it's not just that the Girsa was different, like Rabbeinu David says. The whole Havana of the Halacha is a different Halacha. According to Rashi, it's a specific Shash of a Shamish, and that's the Girsa of Yesh Keva and Ein Keva. It has to do with Pa'am Nichnas. The Shamish goes in, and he has his bread, and he was rushed out because they demanded more wine, and by Shemin it's not going to happen. He brings it in the beginning. So it's the very scenario that we consider to be likely enough that could happen enough times that there could have been passed beyond a Shamish for the Yayin, and that's what makes a Machnisim bo chametz by a mistapik situation, by Yayin. Mistapik, it's where you use that room to supply the wine, and we have all these possible scenarios we can imagine in our head that it could have happened like this, like that. That's called Machnisim bo chametz. According to Rabbeinu Chananya, again, we're taking the Girsa now, Rabbeinu David. There's no Girsa of the Kashmir Gemara was from Oats with Yayin and Oats with Shemen. And the answer is mistapik. The answer is simple. Mistapik is a place that's heavily trafficked. If it's heavily trafficked, then among the traffic that goes into that room, mistapik means you're using it to bring to your meal. You're bringing your oil. You're bringing your wine. It's a room that you use a lot. Memela, it's called machlis b'chametz because people walk in throughout the year and people have chametz with them. And memela, it's called machlis b'chametz. It's a different reading of the whole. And therefore, yayin shemen, there's no difference. Not because like the Ran said, because the shemen today changes from what it was in the Gemara. We use it for fuel, and then the girsa could be the same as us. No, it's the girsa could be osus yad and osus shemen b'mistapik. But the havana is not because people use shemen, and he could go in with his pass, even in the middle of the meal, because it ain't kevel l'shtia, and ain't kevel l'achila either. It's not because, it's because it's a room that's heavily trafficked. Memela, it's called machlis b'chametz. You use the room. If you use the room and you have chametz with you, you could very well have chametz with you. Use the room with chametz with you, and that's called machlis b'chametz. Okay, so we'll leave the tosis on mita. And Mitzvah Hashem will go on in the Gemara for Sunday. We'll do a little chumash now, but just again, the Tosa Mita, just to get another pshat in the inyan of this, of what it's referring to when we talk about the Bedika by Mita. Rashi, which is under the Mita, Tosa is going to have a new pshat and then different suggestions in learning the Gemara and the Girsa of the Brises about what the Stira was. So that's the top Tosas. And then we have the Hemshecha Gemara in terms of more details, interesting, and yana come up on Amid Bay. So we'll try to do that next few days and finish to Daf Tes. Okay, questions? Okay, so we can do a little parsha, yeah? Okay.